What is peace brain? Peace brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics, open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth, and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm really happy to have you here today on the call, on the show. Today we really have a fun show. We're going to be talking about sort of how you can achieve your, you can manifest what you want in your work. You can do vision boards and all kinds of things. We're going to talk about a kind of business plan or a work plan of how to really be successful in business. And we have a wonderful lady on tonight. I want to, though, before we start with her, Alyssa McNench, I want to open the show with a quote, and I want to actually remind you that we have this amazing meditation at the end of the show, so please stay tuned all the way to the end of our radio show, and you'll have this amazing meditation probably around success as well. We will be talking about that. So, to that end, I chose a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, which is about success. And it says, success, to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. And I love this quote because it's not what we think about automatically, or at least me, when I think about it automatically with the word success. Society tells us that's money, that's status, that's wealth, that's things, perhaps. But what Ralph Waldo Emerson is saying here, it doesn't have to be any of those things. It's really, I love when he says, to have that one, even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. Wow. That's really, that puts it in a whole different perspective. It puts it in, you know, what are your gifts and how are you going forth in the world to create success, which really is about serving others. It, of course, is about your own personal growth and really living your joy and why you're here. And at the same time, it's about helping others and being of service. So I love this quote by Emerson because it really puts this this heartfelt way of looking at how do we live our lives and how do we achieve success. And that's a great introduction to actually the lady that we have on tonight, Alyssa McNench from Houston, Texas, and she is an amazing lady, and she is all about success. I think this quote embodies who she is, and we're going to talk about how she's achieved that success in not only the ways that Emerson has said, but also monetarily and through customer service. Let me tell you a little bit about Alyssa. As I said, an amazing lady. She's a realtor in Houston, Texas, and has been for many years. She is a 5-star realtor and for customer service. In fact, she's in the top 3% of the realtors in Texas as far as customer service. And there is, in Houston, on the Houston board, there's over 38,000 realtors in Houston board, and she is in this top 3% of customer service, which means that her customers really appreciate her and who she is and what she does for them. She describes herself as a relationship realtor, where, of course, she focuses on the transactions, but she really focuses on the relationship that she can develop with her clients and helping them find what they are really looking for and making their life better. So she is also, she used to be an English teacher prior to being a realtor, and was also head of the English department at the high school she was teaching at. And she is also my niece. So I want to welcome Alyssa McNinch onto the Peace Brain Show. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome.
Thank you. And you saved the best for last, didn't you? Your niece. I love that.
It's wonderful to have you on the show. I have so admired you your whole life. And you have such a way about you of really, I can see why you are so top in the customer service department of being a realtor, because you just have such a genuineness about you, Alyssa, and an authenticity about you, and really a caring nature. And you have an amazing, how shall we put it, sort of system of how you do your business. So I'd like to get involved and get to start to talking about that system, or
sure.
A little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love what I do. I loved being a school teacher. I loved students. I loved kids. Going into real estate was kind of a neat transition into this. But I love people, and I realize that every transaction is different because every person I work with is different. So nothing is ever the same in real estate. But what I've noticed that I did not necessarily learn when I was a school teacher is that I really have to plan my work and work my plan. I work from a calendar, which is essential in real estate. Because otherwise there would be no family time. Realtors work days, we work evenings, we work holidays. We work all the time, you know. But really what I've noticed is I have to work from a calendar and plan my family life first. And so I work out blocks of time, putting my family stuff in there first, my date night with my husband, my walking my dogs, my exercise. And then everything else can fall into place thereafter when it comes to my workload, you know, because otherwise everything can get sucked up and then there is nothing left. And that's I certainly don't want to go through life and miss out on those important moments, those birthdays, those holidays, and really connecting with my husband each week. You know, that's essential to my life, at least. So
sounds beautiful.
It works for me. It works for me. Those people who say, I don't work from a calendar, I think, oh, my goodness, how do you do that? How do you mm-hmm. how do you make time? So I fill in my family time first, and everything else falls in second. Everything gets written down, everything. I have a distinction in my business that I work on my business and in my business. I can work in my business 24/7. That never goes away. There's always someone who needs an electrician or a plumber or somebody's having a crisis. There's always a crisis, you know, that going on in somebody's world, and I understand that. But I realize that it's essential for me to work on my business and not just always in my business.
So and explain that business, a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is in the business and on the business?
On the business is... because I'm a relationship realtor, and I have probably 95% of my business comes from referrals, previous clients who are family, friends, clients. There's a relationship there,
wow.
And then they refer business to me. It's important to keep those relationships in existence. I spend 1 hour a day calling previous clients, friends, family, and talking with them, just chatting with them, and not asking for their business, not just sharing, just talking. And then I follow up only 1 hour, okay? So it's not a lot of time out of somebody's day if somebody is wanting to model this. So 1 hour a day I'm talking to as many people as I can. It may be one person because somebody may have a lot going on in their life that they just need to vent and share, and I get that. Or I may be talking to 5, 6, 10 people, just checking in, seeing how things are going. From that, I then write a thank you note afterwards at the end of the day, and just say, you know, hey, it was nice talking with you. If you ever need anything, don't hesitate to give me a call. Always here for you. That is important to me. I think the handwritten note, the personalization, we've gotten so involved with technology that people miss the forest for the trees. You know, it's connecting with the people who mean something to us.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are a steady stream of my clients who refer clients to me all the time. They're my cheerleaders. I need to make sure that they never know that I always remind them that they are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so making those phone calls, writing those thank you notes are an essential part of my business. But again, I have a very homespun business plan. It's all hearts and minds with me. It's not all about dollar signs with me. It's about keeping those relationships.
So a question, how often do you come around to the same person to call and check in?
Good point. What I have done is I have a list. I have 2,700 people in my database. And you kind of go, oh, my gosh, how are you? You don't call 2,700 people, okay? There are people who are your A-team people, okay? They are the people who are your cheerleaders. They are the people who, when they're at their work, and somebody says, listen, I'm thinking about buying or selling a home. They're the people who jump up and say, listen, do you have a realtor? If you don't, I have a really great realtor. In fact, don't even use your realtor. Use my realtor. She's the best. They're the cheerleaders. So
mm-hmm.
These are the people who are that constant steady stream. So I have divided my 2,700 people, okay, and then I pulled out my small handful, and it's probably only 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after 15 years in business, it may only be 50 people. And so I try to call them about every 90 days. And so every quarter I have called and sent them a note about every 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep
Excellent.
Them on the radar. Yeah, it is. You know, and because you don't need a ton of people to send you business. You just need people who know you and trust you and who you have a relationship with.
So it's interesting you bring up this kind of old school, if you will, way of connecting with people, although I think it's not just old school. But as I think of Constant Contact or all of the various email blasts that people can send out, and I know you do have a realtor's newsletter, so you do that as well. But
mm-hmm.
through the social media, someone would say, well, I can connect with people that way. Why do I need to do this personal call and handwritten note? Talk about that for a minute, about the difference between a news blast email.
Well,
email.
Mm-hmm. I do. I do a newsletter, news blast, goes to 2,700 people.
Mm-hmm.
It informs them, but it's not personal. And I realize that I can't be personal with every single person, but I definitely try to connect. And I think it's important. Let's say that John Doe, who hasn't necessarily been on my radar as one of my A-team people, okay, but they like my newsletter. They know me. They know I do a good job in a neighborhood, and so they refer a client to me. Do they get on my A-team? Probably so. You know, I'm going to start catering to them, okay, because it's important to keep that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think things have gotten to be so technology is a tool, but I don't think it's a substitution for face-to-face, one-on-one human contact.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were put on this great big ball, and I think it's human interaction that means more to anyone, because we can all send out emails, we can all put Facebook postings and IM and things, but it that human contact is, I think, essential.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you for explaining that. I happen to agree with you. So your system,
mm-hmm.
continue with that. You're on and working on your work and in your work.
Yeah, my work is working on my business is making that human contact every day, and it's not dealing with a transaction, a buyer, a seller per se. It's just reconnecting with those A-team people who refer business to me, and reconnecting with them every quarter to make sure that I know what's going on in their world and they mean something to me. I need to remind them every 3 months or so that I mean something to them and they mean something to me. And I know what they do for me. They keep me employed. They keep my business going. And that is special to me, and they're special to me.
And that's really beautiful.
So that's
Alyssa,
that's on my business and not mm-hmm. in my business.
Mm-hmm. And you really do get to know them, I'm sure, not just from the real estate point of view, but from who their who their family is, and what they're doing, and how they're doing, and really getting that personal connection, which is so important in life. Correct?
It really is. Yes, and when I'm talking to someone, I take notes because, again, we all get busy. Everybody gets busy. I take notes, and so the next time I talk with them, and I'll say, listen, I heard that Sally Jo, last time we talked, you and Sally Jo were going to take that vacation to Hawaii. How did that go? Really, where'd you stay? Or last time we talked, Johnny was heading off to, UT. Did it get settled in? Really, how's his freshman year going? So, and it's nobody can remember all this, about one another and our families. It just doesn't happen. There's just not enough brain space to make it all work. But I take notes, and I do go back to my notes before I make that phone call and go, oh yeah, that's what they were doing the last time we spoke. So I try to reconnect with them, and they don't think that I'm just calling to ask for their business, because that's certainly not it. But I try to reconnect with them on a personal level and say, listen, how is it going?
Wow. So I have to ask, because I'm thinking about, if I took a lot of notes like that, what would I do with the notes? Would I put them in my address book? Would I put them in my constant contact list? Where would I put all the notes about each person that I know?
I use Outlook.
Okay.
That still has, like I said, that large list of people. And in Outlook, there is a notes section, and I put a little date next to it. And as I have a conversation, I'll take my little notes and type them in there, just so I can remember what we talked about the time before.
Wow.
And everything's kind of chronological. And I don't make these sorts of phone calls in the car or as I'm sitting in traffic, because I do take notes as I'm talking to someone. So I do it in the morning, usually between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not taking other phone calls at that time. It's specifically for working on my business and not in my business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I make that phone call again, in 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, whenever I get back to it, you're back around to calling those people again, I can look back at the last time we spoke and the date that I called them and what we talked about last time.
That's awesome. You make me think of when we get holiday cards in the mail, and many of them have information about what the people have done that year, what they're planning to do, and all the things happening with their kids, et cetera. Like, those things almost need to be, those wonderful notes and letters need to be saved somewhere where we can go back and refer to them and go, oh, wow. Like you said, you took that trip to Hawaii, or did Gary graduate from college, and what's he doing now, or whatever. All of that information we have about so many people that we know these days.
Well, and trust me, it's a good method. I'm still working out kinks. I don't always get to people like I should, but I certainly put forth at least the effort to try to get to everybody that I want to. You know, but well, even if you only get to one person, you know, even if you only get to one person, you know, once a year, it's more than they would have gotten possibly from somebody else. And it
that's
shows
true.
That you care.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we send out holiday cards or people connect at the end of the year or the beginning of the new year like it is now. And just to have that reconnection is so important. Absolutely.
Well, I love the idea of the phone call first and then the thank you note second. The combination of the two really does something. It solidifies something. It's not just half done. Making that phone call, somebody said, well, I'll just send out notes. Well, notes are fine, but really, to me, making that phone call is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a quick little note afterwards, is kind of, it seals things up. You know, it's wow, you took the time to actually reference something in our conversation. Say, you know, it was great talking with you. You know, yeah, love to hear about your trip from when you get back from Hawaii. Hope you have a great one, Alyssa. That's all it takes. You put a stamp on it, drop it in the mail. You took the time to say, gosh, not only did you take the time to call me, but you took the time to care to actually send something to me. Wow.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Absolutely. And I know we all love to get letters in the mail. I mean, it's so rare these days to get an actual anything that's not an ad or a bill in our actual mailbox. So that must
Isn't
be
that
really, very special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about working in your business? How have you succeeded?
Well, I mean, I have done very well. I am a relationship realtor, and so it is all about referrals for me. This past year, I did 56 transactions, and even in a down market, I did more in sales than I had done the year before. So I did very well. And when I look at it, it's funny. I have an assistant, Kim, and I look at how many clients I get to work. You know, and it's important that I work more clients every year. You know, so I worked 52 the year before. I did 56 this year. Wow, I worked four more clients, did four more transactions, four more people than I did the year before. That means 56 people may be referring their friends and family to me because only 52 last year. So I like building that every year because that's important to me. It's all about people for me. She's a numbers gal, my assistant is, and mm-hmm. so she looks at numbers. And it's a nice partnership in that fashion that she keeps track of the numbers and the sales and things like that. And I just work the clients.
Sounds like a good...
That's a nice balance.
A good combination. Yes, exactly. So tell me a little bit about your vision boards or going to your, with your system. But
mm-hmm. Sure, my system. Well, this last year was the first year I actually used a vision board. I took a course, a Brian Buffini course, and a lot of what I do is Brian Buffini orchestrated, I guess. But I did a vision board for the first time, and I wrote down, they said, you know, what do you want? What do you want out of life? And I thought, I don't know. Yeah, what do I want? Well, you know, yep, I'd sure like to wear that dress again. You know, wrote that down.
Right.
You know, sure like to remodel the house. Yep, wrote that down. You know, sure like to pay off the house. Yep, yeah, that's a big goal. You know, mm-hmm. Yep, wrote that down. So I wrote down things that were important to me. I don't know, I wrote down, I guess, 7 or 8 things. Looking at the list, gosh, it was interesting that nothing was financial, as in, you know, I'm hoping to make $1 million or, you know, for me that wasn't that important. I realized, and I'll even read you about my list and kind of give you, you know, yes, I want to fit into the dress. Yes, I want to remodel the house. Yes, I want to pay off the house. I thought, you know what, I really would like to have 3 vacations a year, even if they're only 5 days, because this industry is a very demanding industry where I'm working, like I said, all day, showing homes in the evenings, working weekends, having open houses, even some holidays working. So it's a very customer service industry, but I have to be on when other people are off. So I thought, okay, yeah, you know what, I'd like to have three vacations about, one vacation every 4 months is about right. You know, that's when I need a break. That would be great.
Right.
So I wrote that down. I like to spend more time with my dogs. You know, I'd love for them to be more well behaved than they really are. Yeah. Just some things like that. Don't we all? So I wrote down these things, and then I said, put them on a poster board with these statements, and I put a picture, of me wearing that dress that I don't quite fit in, of what a vacation looks like, the beach, what a remodeled house would look like. And so I put pictures next to each of these statements. It sits in front of my desk, and I kind of read through it every morning, not really giving much thought, but that's what the directions from this Brian Buffini workshop said to do. You just kind of read through it, let that be the start of your day, putting your mind in focus of positive things of why you're working. But, some days of the week you question yourself, why am I working? Well, these are the reasons you're working. So it's interesting now that the year has come to, 2016 has come to an end, because looking at my list, I went, wow, some of those things actually came true. Did I take three vacations this year? I went, holy cannoli, I really did. I took three vacations this year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Didn't really realize it till the end of the year, but I actually, about every 4 months, I had a break. Fantastic. Remodel the house. I went, I got that part of that done. I got my kitchen and two bathrooms done this year. We've lived in this house.
They're beautiful.
15 years. Thank you. 15 years. And I thought, wow, I actually done that. We got that done. How fantastic. No, I don't fit in that dress yet. I'm spending a little more time with my dogs. I'm trying to walk them. We're practicing our heel command and our stay command, and I'm spending more time. And I realize that with my dogs, that's very therapeutic for me. I kind of recenter myself when I'm with them. So I went, wow, a vision board really kind of worked for me. It not only gave me the statements I was looking for, but the visual aids to say, this is in my subconscious. This is what I'm doing every day. And it did come to fruition for me. Not everything, but I don't expect everything in 1 year to be on that board. Am I changing my board? No. I am leaving it for this next year, and I'm still kind of working towards those exact same goals. And that's what I'm working for.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Good job.
Well, thank you.
I like that, and I like that you're keeping it to work on, continue to work on it, because there's always deeper levels of some successes that we can still achieve more to them, that it warrants still putting the attention on it. So excellent job. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I also... I keep a gratitude journal. I remember seeing on some program, you kind of have to unpack of what works for you and what doesn't. You kind of find your niche in things. So everybody has something new that they can do. And I have just kind of find what works for me, and I've just kind of stuck with it. But I have a gratitude journal, and every day I just kind of write down what I'm grateful for. And they can just be little things, And some days of the week, I tell you what, you feel just crummy enough, that you're still breathing, maybe the only thing on the list, But, I try to acknowledge the blessings that I have. I have a great husband, and I try to acknowledge the blessings that I have, because if I get so caught up in all the chaos and mayhem that happens in all of our worlds, I miss the mark, and I don't want to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. And if I end my day with my blessings and write down the things, even if it can be, I made it to work on time.
Right.
I'm grateful for blank. And I just led to kind of a free write, whatever comes to mind. This is what I'm grateful for. And I just let it come out of me. And I purge myself of all the great things that I'm really that are in my world right before I go to bed, and it puts me in a much better frame of mind as I sleep.
Yes, it would. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's a lot of quotes actually to reflect on the day and kind of let go of the mistakes, if you will, and to be in that gratitude and in that acceptance of this is what I did good today, and this is what I, you know, then to start over. In fact, I've got another quote by Emerson that I have on my desk, which I just grabbed for, and it's about this. It says, "Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities have crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. You shall begin it serenely and with too high a spirit to be encumbered with your old nonsense."
Oh, I love that.
So that's a great way to have the gratitude and to uplift your spirit. Yeah, and let all the nonsense go.
That is true. Yeah, I going through menopause, you know, don't always sleep well. And of course, you know, even though I do my gratitude journal, you know, it's sometimes the chaos and the mayhem just is too much. And so I did take your advice to try to find my bliss, okay? And I have found that moment. And I, you know, you said to me, you said, find that special moment. Find that moment when you are completely and utterly content and happy with yourself. Find that place. You know, and you asked me what it was, and I said it was holding Max as a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, that's not uncommon for people to either choose children or puppies or animals to bring their bliss. And I use that to sleep. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night and just things are just roaring through my head, that is that memory that I pull of him sleeping on my shoulder. That's
right.
My bliss. That's my contentment.
That's beautiful. Wow. I had forgotten we had talked about that. That was a while back. But yes, that is exactly it, to find that happiness, that bliss, and be in that energy is so important to recenter and to get back on track of life. Uh-huh.
Oh, I can read this to you. I wrote a
yes,
short little
please.
Essay at one time. I wrote it years ago. I wrote it after you and I talked. How long ago was that? That was years ago, wasn't it?
For that, yes.
For that it was, yeah. I wrote bliss. I said, "It's late and I cannot sleep. Tossing and turning, I fret, replaying my day in detail, creating lists of endless tasks that I did not do today, lists of such magnitude that with endless tomorrows could never be complete. Yet there my mind goes, spinning, worrying, wasting time, squandering my precious sleep. Find my bliss, I whisper, pleading to myself. And there I press to find that precious moment of pure happiness to hold in my thoughts, drowning out all others to put my mind to rest. Chaotic noise begins to fade away, then silence. And there he is in my arms. I hold in the memory to soak in every instant, every sight, every sound, pressing my mind to believe that I am back in that moment again, holding my sweet angel. I feel him cradled on my shoulder, feeling his warm breath on my throat as he sleeps. I hear the easy rhythm of his breath, in, out, over and over again. The warm breath brushes against my skin like a feather, and with each easy breath, it relaxes me. I feel the beat of his tiny heart pressed against my chest, and my hand caresses his small back as I gently rock back and forth. With a sigh, he nestles in closer, falling into a deeper, dreamlike sleep. He knows that he is completely safe in my arms, enveloped in my love. How can life be any more perfect than this, I ponder. Holding him, loving him with all my heart, rhythmically rocking back and forth, as I drift off into a most welcome slumber, I smile and answer, "It can't." And that's my Max.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Alyssa.
Thank you.
You are a writer.
I am. I love to write. If I could do two things, it would be painting and writing. Those are my passions.
You can. Put them on the vision board.
I know.
Board.
That's true. I need to put them on my vision board. They're not there. That's the reason I'm not accomplishing them like I should.
There you go. Because you are beautiful in your description there. You made me think of Ariel, who snuggled up to me on the day that she passed away. And I actually did a radio show about her. If you all can go back on the archives and look at May 10th, 2016, the show about Ariel, which was her birthday, I did the show. So it's beautiful to remember those moments of bliss, of happiness, of pure joy and contentment and love that we can get into. And truly, that's how I think we're each being called to walk in our you know, each day. And even if during our work and during our play and talking with people, is to be in that state of joy and bliss. Yeah.
I agree. Well, and I think that's, we have to recognize it. I think sometimes we're so busy and life is coming at us so fast that we miss it. We
yes.
miss the moments. We miss the laughter. We miss the joy. And kind of we're so often behind the phone, behind the camera, that we're missing the moment in front of the camera. And we can't. We can't. Life is too short. We can't
miss
it.
That brings me to a question of,
mm-hmm.
with your system, which seems so organized and planned, can you be flexible and open to those kinds of moments that may be not on the calendar?
That's taken some adjustment. I'll be real honest. Yes. Yes, it takes, well, and everything, I move everything around. You know, I have to say some things are fluid. Some
exactly.
things are definitely set in stone, unchangeable, unwavering. But yes, things are fluid and things have to be fluid. Life
Great.
Just has to be.
Yeah, it is. You're right. And I love the way you put it. You move things around because that's the way it happens. You know, if something comes up and we're delayed or we're detained or we choose to take the moment and really enjoy the bliss and the happiness and take that extra time with that person we're speaking with or in relationship with for whatever it is, whether it's work or fun or you know, just a friend who needs to bend an ear, that's really important to take that little extra time and then move things around to make
mm-hmm.
it. Make it all work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. And I find, you know, when that happens, like, for example, today I was a couple minutes late getting to my chiropractor, about 5-10 minutes late, and it was perfect because she was taking extra time with a new client and needed that extra time. So it all worked out beautifully. You know, I find that even though things seem to be not in sync, they really are. So that's wonderful to pay attention to as well.
And I think that's part of recognizing. You know, when I say be grateful, you know, I try to acknowledge even the smallest thing, like that running 10 minutes late, really, that helps somebody else out, you know. And recognizing that you didn't put somebody else out. It all worked out the way it should, and not to get unraveled.
Get stressed over it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be on Belize time, as my husband and I talk about it. as I know you do, I love the country of Belize, and the people are just so warm and friendly. And I find that when I go there, the time slows down. It really is very, things get accomplished and everyone is happy, and it's just a slower pace, which I have to adapt to when I go, and when I do, it's actually quite blissful. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes, we both share that passion, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what makes the Belizean people so unique, and I wish I were more Belizean in this fact, is they appreciate what they do have, and they don't worry so much about what they don't.
Good point.
It's the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a rat race where everybody wants. It's all about things and things. You know, they just appreciate what they do have. They're not so, I'll say, nutted up about things that they don't. And it's beautiful. What a mindset. What a freedom.
And even when things, I know, don't go the way that they're looking for it to go, or things don't always add up, or people are not, something goes wrong in a relationship, there's this beautiful attitude of, well, life goes on, and I just need to go forward and still send out the love and be the best person I can be, and as you said, appreciate what I have and march forward. And there's this, I may not like my neighbor today, but I've got to live with my neighbor tomorrow, so I have to be nice to my neighbor and nice to myself. And it's a different mindset of really there's a community mindset, which is really beautiful, I think, in that particular country, and I'm sure in many more countries around the world. But certainly what I've experienced, they really care about community and keeping it on that relationship level.
And very kind. They're very kind to one another.
Mm-hmm. So how mm-hmm. can we do that here in the United States?
Well, I think...
It sounds
honestly,
like you're doing it a lot with your thank you notes and with your calls.
I think it's realizing technology is a tool, but it is not a way of life. People are afraid to call or visit or write a note. I think we've got to have more face-to-face time. We have to connect with people. This is not meant to badmouth millennials, but I noticed that my millennials, my clients, will call me, but they won't leave a voice message on my cell phone. They'll just think that I recognize their number and I'm to call them back. I'm thinking, if you need me, call me and tell me what you need and let me help you. It's a different mindset, but we need to talk to one another, share with one another, and spend time with one another. I think it's important.
And that's interesting you mentioned about the voice message, because for me, I always do want to leave a detailed voice message of what I want, because then I expect the person to research it, find the answer, and then when we talk next, they'll have the answer.
I'm the same way.
My husband, on the other hand, is very much like the millennials you're talking about. he'll just call and then expect that they'll discuss whatever it is when they talk. You know, he won't leave a message really. He'll just say, "Call me back," type thing.
No.
But text, you know, it's interesting because texts have become a way where we can communicate those details. And
right.
Perhaps that's what it's moving towards. And yet I agree with you that voice on the phone is still, I think, easier than text. However, if someone's busy in a meeting, a text is a less obtrusive way to connect with them with what you want than obviously a phone call, so you don't know quite what they're doing right at the moment. So there's gives and takes with technology.
With text and emails, though, you don't understand tone. Sometimes I think there's a lot of misunderstanding or kind of miscommunication sometimes because you don't hear what someone really means.
Good point.
It can be very, the texts are very factual, but you don't hear tone. And you don't hear those inflections, or you don't hear that someone may be upset, or someone may be joking, or you don't get sarcasm, or you don't get playfulness, or, you know, there's things that can be easily misconstrued.
You're sounding like an English teacher now.
Well, sorry.
But, no, I'm just laughing, because obviously an English teacher would know this and have this point of view, I think. Good job, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that human context is essential. I just, I think it's lacking, and I think it should be such a natural, almost a natural hunger for people to want to be with others. I don't want to be an isolationist. I don't want to not. I mean, everything is so easy from, you know, having groceries delivered, which I do. Sometimes I have the groceries delivered to the house. I get it. You know, we can do so much with Amazon Prime and everything being delivered and working from our computers and our phones that human contact is getting to be more rare. And I think it's essential to keep relationships.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And when we get back to turning it back to peace and creating peace in the world, I believe it really is about getting to know each other that we can create peace. Because if I can't get to know you, I don't understand you, and I may not appreciate you, and I may think differently about you than of who you are. And that gets back to what you just said about the text of I wouldn't know the inflections or the tone or the truth in the words unless I really get to know you. And so that core of creating a relationship, creating this connection is so important. And I think it's not just getting to know your neighbors, but your colleagues, and having everyone be a friend, no stranger out there. Even if you just go up and say hi to the people walking down a hall, that, you know, in a building, and you may have never seen them before, but just saying hello, how are you, is really a very powerful connection. That obviously isn't getting to know them well, but that acknowledges them as a human being, and I think that's so important these days.
I do too. You know, and I think, very sad book, but you know, in the story, like All Quiet on the Western Front, the main character Paul, whatever Paul's last name was, Paul. You know, he's German officer fighting. Okay, and at one scene in the story, he is in the trenches, and he's caught in the trenches with his enemy. Okay, and it's interesting that he doesn't become friends with his enemy, okay, but he looks and he understands him, and the enemy understands Paul. I don't remember all the circumstances now. Sorry, too many years since I've taught the novel, but I remember being so, you know, if we have a deeper understanding of our enemy, then maybe they're not so different from us after all. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yes.
I think, but again, it takes that human contact. It takes us getting out of our homes. It takes us being with people to understand people more in depth, and not withdraw into ourselves, into our homes, and not be with others. You know, we have to be willing to engage other people.
Mhm. I agree. That sounds like a great way to sum up this call, this radio show. We are getting toward the end. Do you have any other last words you'd like to say to our listeners?
Well, just recognize your blessings. Be grateful for things you have and don't be so consumed or focused on things that you don't. Be true to yourself. Trust. Build those trusting relationships with people. Put down the cell phones and just enjoy life. Don't miss it. Don't miss the moments that we have with our family and our friends. Enjoy every minute that you have. And I think that's probably it.
Ah, very wise words. Thank you very much, Alyssa McNench. I really appreciate it. And for any of you who want to learn more about Alyssa, you can find her on her website, which is Alyssa McNench, and that's ElisaMcNench.com, ElisaMcNench.com. And thank you, Alyssa, for being on the Peace Brain Show. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
So now we're going to go into our meditation, our Peace Brain meditation. So I invite everyone just to take a breath and close your eyes, settle in your chair. Give yourself a grounding cord that is an energetic connection from the base of your spine down to the center of the planet. And I like to envision a beam of light or a tree trunk or a monkey's tail, whatever works for you. This is that third prong on the electrical outlet so that when energy comes in your body and isn't yours, you can ground it off just like the electrical cord grounds it off into the earth so we don't get burned out. And Mother Earth takes all the energy and recycles it into new positive energy. So take a breath and think about success. Think about Emerson's quote about to laugh often, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of an honest critic, to endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. Think about your successes. Give yourself a pat on the back because I'm sure you have many of them. I'm sure you've achieved much with your gifts and your talents and just who you are. So take a breath and love yourself. Really understand that, yes, you are success. You have that within you. Feel that happy place where you can find the joy of a child or the cuddle with a pet, with a dog or a kitten, or something that brings you really that inner joy and that inner peace. This is who you truly are. Acknowledge it. Bring it into your heart. Feel that bliss. Feel that peace. And then think about what you would like to add to your success this coming year, because we are in the beginning of 2017. Think about what you might want to have on your vision board, what you might want to have in your accomplishments and add to your success. And it does not have to be money, although it could be. And visualize what kind of pictures would you put on your vision board. No timeline, except for maybe the entire year. Allow yourself to just breathe it in. Just breathe in those things that you would like to be or accomplish or bring into your life. And feel happy about it. Feel that bliss and that beauty and that happiness, knowing that you have achieved them now in your mind. And that by doing that, being the energy of those beautiful things, those beautiful qualities, those beautiful parts of yourself that you want to succeed in this coming year, know that you have achieved them, that you call on the universe through your energy to bring them to you. And I encourage you to create your own vision board, to perhaps keep your gratitude journal. What are you grateful for? And I'm sure there is a long list. Feel that success within your heart, that success of you as a human being. Look at what you have accomplished, what you have achieved, what you can be grateful for. Congratulations, good job. And moving forward, know that there's always more that we each can do to achieve our full potential and who we each are. So take a breath, congratulate yourself, feel that success, feel that happiness. And now go forth in this year achieving those things, knowing that they are not only possible, but they are already achieved in your energy and your mind. Allow them to come to you. Allow the doors to open to make them happen, and take the action to step through those doors so that that success will be checked off on your vision board and in your life. So take a breath, bring yourself back to your chair, open your eyes, and I want to thank you for tuning in today to the Peace Brain Show. And remember, if you'd like to connect with me, please email me at hello@peacebrain.org, or you can go to my website, tourismforpeace.com. And again, I want to thank my guest, Ms. Alyssa McNinch, for being on the Peace Brain Show today. And if you'd like to find out more about her, it's Alyssa McNinch, ElisaMcNinch.com. And now I recommend and invite you to go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Alchemy of Peace coaching sessions, her Peace Master plans for your business or organization, and her upcoming book, Peace Brain 101. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 2 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern for the Peace Brain Show and your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.